Chapter 34, The End of Faith. Lori and I made regular trips to Cabo to fish. She was embraced by the locals as much as I embraced her. When our visits had become regular enough, the locals would ask us to bring things back from the States for them, things that were difficult or very expensive for them to acquire. We thought it would be a good idea to help people get these items legally, so we got the idea to start a small import-export business. Lori and I took a summer course at College of the Desert in Palm Desert called Establish an Export-Import Business. We opened up a tienda, a store that sold small electronics, Barbie dolls and other children's toys and lots of Levi jeans. We introduced Cabo San Lucas to music on CD and sold thousands. It was going well, but I had another idea brewing in my head, one that wasn't fully formed yet. We had established a website, www.tommygarcia.com, and published all of the newspaper articles about my life growing up with Father Divine. It was something I felt like I had to do so that I could tell my story to the world. I had spent so long hiding what had happened to me, I finally thought it was time to put it all out there. I didn't know it, but my website ended up on the radar of the people at the Peace Mission. In April 2001, while I was on a solo trip to Cabo, Lori received a strange call. The call was from a former member of the movement who had seen the webpage and noticed an omission. When Lori picked up the phone, she heard what she described as nervous giggling on the other end of the line. "I was looking at your website and wondered why it didn't mention anything about Miss Harmony Faith. Who is this?" Lori asked. "And what are you talking about?" "Sonia," she answered. "Miss Harmony died." Sonia continued, "I went to the Keyflower dining room with Robert Hampton. That's where Miss Harmony worked. But I noticed she was missing. Then they told me she'd passed away. Can I have your phone number in case Tommy would like to speak with you?" Lori asked, when Lori came to the airport to pick me up. Her silence clued me in that something was wrong. "My mom died, didn't she?" "Yes." I hit the steering wheel with my hands. The next day, Lori called the Philadelphia Medical Examiner, seeking information. When Lori told me my mother had an epileptic seizure, I was blown away. A few days later, we got a middle-of-the-night message on our answering machine from Miss Dorothy Darling. I called in the morning and she said she had something to send me. I then received a certified letter. Inside the envelope was a death certificate for Harmony Faith Love, wrapped in the top portion only of Palace Mission letterhead. There was no note, no condolences, nothing. I picked up the phone and immediately called Mother Divine. Furious with anger that they hadn't told me my mom had died months ago, "What happened?" I asked. "Oh Tommy, really," Mother Divine said dismissively, and not giving me a chance to feel any emotion. "Do you know that we had our 50th anniversary celebration? I want to know about my mom, please." Mother Divine refused to talk about it, just as she had refused to talk about Susie. I gave up on asking questions, but the certificate left me with many questions. There was a mortician and a crematorium named Bernard Archer Funeral Home. But when Lori called, Mr. Archer said they had instructed him to cremate immediately, and someone from there picked up the ashes. Several things in the death certificate seemed off to us. Why was she cremated so quickly? And why weren't we notified? I was told there was no next of kin. He said, "That's nonsense. Everyone knew I was Miss Harmony's natural son." The notary for the movement, Eleanor Kindstrom, allegedly told the police she had no next of kin and was single with no children. That was odd, since Eleanor had notarized my mom's signature for me on Pop's quitclaim deed in 1989. Why the lies? Lori was sure something sinister was going on. There had to be some reason for all the secrecy. It took her years and years of digging and research to find out what had happened to my mom. It took nearly 10 years just to get the police incident report. When she did, she noticed several odd bits of information and numerous discrepancies, including Mom's social security number. Mom had legally changed her name to Harmony Faith Love in 1978 in the Court of Common Pleas. It hadn't only been her movement name. It turned out lots of movement names were sometimes, but not always, legal names. Lori initially suspected they might be doing this for some sort of fraud, using the names of older people and social security numbers of deceased people to collect Medicare and social security checks. But the few copies of paperwork from the hospital, which took us forever to obtain, because without a police report, they wouldn't release any records, said she was using the private pay insurance health pass, not Medicare. Adding to more confusion, they could find record of just 2 doctor visits, both for glaucoma. And yet, Dr. Joel Griska, the doctor whose name was on the bottle of Dilantin found by police on her nightstand, somehow remembered my mom, according to Ashley, the woman who worked for him. Our search for my mother's ashes led to another set of odd clues. We found another Harmony Love, buried in New Jersey at a Rosedale-Rosehill cemetery in 1964. But absolutely no sign of my mother's ashes anywhere. The records were another oddity, indicating that they likely belonged to the original Harmony Love, who was reported in the 1940 United States Census to be living in a Peace Mission house with her sisters in Queens, New York, at 204 to 27 45th Drive. The home mom lived in is valued at well over $600,000 today. Lori and I were never able to track down my mother's ashes, and a few years later another mystery story showed up in the Philadelphia, Montgomery County, Lower Merion and Mainline News. On a cold day in March 2012, a follower of Father Divine was found completely naked, dead on the neighboring property of the Woodmont. The woman was reported to be an 84-year-old follower named Lillian Cleophas Cox. A police report issued by the Lower Merion Police Department said that she was believed to have gone missing at about 9 p.m. the night before. Police were contacted at 1 p.m. the next day and found her dead at 4:14 p.m. on an adjoining property. The police report said they suspected no foul play, but as Lori and I didn't believe there was any real investigation into the matter. When it came to the Peace Mission, nothing was ever found suspicious by authorities. Authorities seemed to side with the Peace Mission every time. The information released by the Lower Merion Police Department placed Lillian's year of birth around 1928. In 1931, a woman also named Lillian Cox was quoted at Father's Disturbance of the Peace trial saying he had healed her petrified leg. The court record said a woman gave that testimony, one who would have been over 100 years old by the time the other Lillian Cox was found. It appeared to us that the Peace Mission passes down the names, but Lori and I don't know why. Another strange coincidence was that the original Lillian Cox, from the newspaper article in 1931, is buried in the same cemetery as the other Harmony Faith Love. I don't know if the duplicates of Lillian Cox and Harmony Faith is a coincidence, a transplanted name, but Miss Love and Miss Cox both being buried at the same cemetery rang some alarm bells. I know to some people these might just be coincidences that aren't important, but getting to the bottom of it is important to me. I need to know why my mother changed her name in 1978. Another name that came up during this mystery is hard to mistake. Miss Meekness Faith. Meekness Faith has a grave in Ohio and passed away in 1979 at the age of 86, placing her birth year in the late 1800s. Today there is a Meekness Faith in the movement, alive and well. The 1940 U.S. Census reported a Meekness Faith, aged 58, living in a house at 13 131st Street in New York. She lived in a beautiful brownstone walk-up with several other Peace Mission members with names like Love Victory or Kind Heart Gay. That property today is worth more than $1.6 million. To understand why the Peace Mission might engage in all of this name switching, I looked at what they say themselves. They state on their website, because the followers truly wish Father and Mother Divine to be praised and honored, the properties are operated under their spiritual guidance and it appears as though the properties belong to them personally, but the followers are the legal owners. A group of followers holds title to the property with right of survivorship, but if and when it is sold, as many properties have been, the living owners share equally the amount received from the sale. It seemed like the followers would get to share in all the profits when these properties are sold, but I remembered what I'd heard back when Mother was selling several properties, nobody was getting a payout. Lori did exhaustive research for years trying to follow the money but was led to more dead ends.